The Miami Heat have traded Tyler Johnson and Wayne Ellington to the Phoenix Suns for Ryan Anderson. So a lot to get into here, David. We've been talking for months now whether or not a trade would materialize or not and what the motivations behind that trade might be. Obviously, this is a tax-saving move, or at least maybe possibly a luxury tax ducking move, depending on what happens here in the next few hours. But as cap expert Albert Namad laid out on Twitter, the Heat are now go from a little bit over $6 million more or over the luxury tax threshold to just $1.2 million over, and they could be as little as $176,000 over if Kelly Olynyk doesn't make his bonus for playing 1,700 minutes this season, which he's not currently on pace to do, although if he does go into the starting lineup, that could change. We'll see. So let's first start with this. Tyler Johnson, Wayne Ellington, no longer a part of the Miami Heat. They are getting sent to Phoenix. It sounds like, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, that Ellington and his agent, Mark Bartlestein, have worked with the Heat and worked with the Suns to basically arrange a buyout. So it sounds like Ellington should go to a contender somewhere. So that's good for him, right? And then if you're the Heat, the Tyler Johnson era is over.
Yeah, I mean, look, I have mixed feelings about it. I know we've talked about it a number of times over the course of the couple seasons since he's been under this contract, but it's been a good story to see Tyler, you know, come from basically being an undrafted player and work his way to a lucrative contract. As much as it stung us and continues to sting us, as far as the overall amount of that deal is worth, I mean, he wasn't a bad player. He wasn't a bad person. And these kinds of things, I mean, maybe I'm just getting sentimental in my old age, but I'm starting to feel a little bad when I start seeing players traded away like this, because this was his home. I mean, I love seeing him and his toothless grin befriend James Johnson and Goran Dragic and the younger guys on this roster. I mean, he worked his way up there. I remember seeing him in Summer League. I don't remember if you were there or not, but I remember seeing him in Summer League when he took a shot to the face, and I mean, he was just being clobbered all over the place, and he was just working his way just to try and get a place onto this roster. That was years ago. And, you know, he's worked himself up there. So, look, I think it's a good opportunity for him. He'll get some playing time there, I guess, alongside Devin Booker, although I think Suns fans are quickly going to learn that Tyler's not a point guard, so I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work out. I know they've been experimenting with Booker being the guy who initiates offense there. So it's going to be tricky to incorporate him. They might get frustrated with what he can do there, which is unfortunate. So
I actually, just to sort of piggyback on the Suns fit there, I like the fit defensively, because now Devin Booker doesn't necessarily have to defend the best player in the other backcourt. Tyler Johnson can provide a lot for them on the defensive end. And yeah, he's not a point guard. I think that's really important to point out, especially to any Suns fans listening. About Tyler Johnson, he's not a point guard. He is an off-ball guard. He comes around screens. He's a good catch-and-shoot guy. I think he'd play, like, if Devin Booker can kind of progress more in that point guard role, I like Tyler Johnson's fit even offensively, too, just as another guy who can make shots, and the Suns don't have a ton of guards who can make shots, right? And he's not gonna step on D'Anthony Melton's toes or any of the young point guards there. Or if the Suns make a move before the deadline or during the offseason for a real point guard, Tyler Johnson's not gonna step on those toes either. So it's not bad. And if you're the Suns, Ryan Anderson wasn't playing for you. You were already gonna have to pay him next year, so you might as well pay a few million dollars more for a player who can actually play for you, right? And that's kind of what it comes down to here. Like, this isn't the blockbuster trade that we keep getting, you know, sent into our mailbags, right, David? This isn't getting, you know, a Harrison Barnes or an Aaron Gordon like I talked about in the last show, but this is a move, and it does something as far as maybe an addition by subtraction, right? You clear out Tyler Johnson, Wayne Ellington. We knew that there was a logjam there at guard. You get out rid of two guys who should be rotation guys, and then you add a Ryan Anderson who theoretically can play next to Hassan Whiteside, space the floor a little bit there. He's an issue defensively, but you'd hope that maybe, you know, going from a team like Houston, which was not a good defensive team when Ryan Anderson was there, to Phoenix, which has not been a good defensive team in quite a while, with or without Ryan Anderson, to Miami, maybe they can cover up some of those defensive efficiencies. But moreover, I don't really think the Heat are looking to add Ryan Anderson's talent. I don't think that they were just like in love with Ryan Anderson spacing the floor. it was obviously a cost-cutting move.
Yeah, I think that's pretty clear. Or if not even just a cost-cutting one, it's also a roster-clearing one, as you hinted at.
Yes.
You know? We've seen the rotation come under fire, and rightfully so, over the last few weeks. You know, Spoelstra has had a hard time managing who plays and when. He's juggled different lineups. Nobody's really stood out, and maybe that's just an overall lack of talent. Maybe it's fit. Maybe it's a lot of different things, but either way, you know, with a certain number of players injured or coming into the lineup, you know, because that's been the norm for the last couple of seasons, it's been hard to gauge who fits best here. But you know what? Now you kind of answer that question, because I honestly don't think Ryan Anderson's going to play much in Miami. I think he's going to play as much in Miami as he did in Phoenix, maybe a slightly bit more, just because, you know, any increase in playing time would be something substantially more than what he was getting in Phoenix. He hasn't played since, you know, early December. And that's because they had no interest in seeing it. I think the Phoenix Suns are doing what a lot of Heat fans want from this Heat team, which is, let's concentrate on playing younger guys. Who cares about the overpriced veterans on this roster? So I'm not sure that he's going to add much from that sense. I don't know that, again, like you said, I don't know that Riley or Spoelstra is considering Ryan Anderson's limited skill set and saying this is a guy we have to incorporate into our rotation. They've already got Kelly Olynyk, who's a better floor spacer and can pass and can put the ball down the floor and is a better defender, better rebounder. They've already got James Johnson, who's already coming off the bench now because he lost that starting role just recently. So I'm not sure what the addition of Ryan Anderson is. We also get the feeling that this is probably the first of other moves that are probably down in the works. We haven't heard anything reported as of this recording, so it's still not clear what happens next. But as far as the roster, clearing move, you know, now Deion Waiters, unless he's moved, you know, he's a guy who's going to get some additional playing time. Now you don't have to worry as much about Goran Dragic once he eventually comes back from injury in a few weeks.
It'll be interesting to see what the Heat do, because Tyler Johnson was starting for them at the two guard, basically. So does Rodney Magruder get back into the starting lineup if he's not moved lately? And by the way, again, the Heat currently $1.2 million over the tax, at least projected to be there. Rodney Magruder makes $1.5 million. You mentioned this might not be the last move, and I don't think it will be the last move if you were asking me to guess. I think that there will be another move, and that move could be Rodney Magruder. If they are able to trade him without taking any salary back, then all of a sudden the Heat are under the tax. They would be, if they don't take any salary back, though, they'll only have 12 players on the roster. The minimum is 14. The minimum is kind of 13, but you have to be within, if you're at 13, you have 2 weeks to add a 14th guy.
Right.
And I'm not really sure how that works out as far as prorated minimum contracts goes and things like that, if the Heat would be able to dodge the tax completely, which does seem to be the motivation of their moves right now. So trying to project forward, that's it. I do think that another move is coming. I do. And I wanted to get to one question here, David, before we close out. Taylor Monk writes in, "What a stupid trade by Miami to throw in Ellington and not get any draft asset back. This front office man, Spo, has to be beside himself." I understand we kept talking on the show, you trade Ellington for a second rounder or something like that. You try to get some draft picks back. But it would have taken those draft picks then to add to Tyler Johnson, a sweetener to get off of the Tyler Johnson contract, even in taking Ryan Anderson back.
Yeah.
Should mention, by the way, Ryan Anderson's contract is non-guaranteed for next year, while Tyler Johnson's contract was a player option for next year. So there is value in that, too. The Heat are going to save about $5 million next season. So for a team that could be facing the luxury, the repeater tax going forward, that's a big deal, or could be a big deal in the long run.
And I think, it's all starting to blend together, but I'm pretty sure in our last podcast we talked about, or one of our most recent podcasts, we talked about the fact that with Wayne, you know, there may not be a need to make a trade for him if you're a contending team, because there is going to be a pretty healthy buyout market, or at least that's the way it seems like it's shaping up. You know, you've got players all over the league who are on these bloated contracts, but who are on these end of these bloated contracts who might get bought out. That's happened every year, and it's going to continue to happen. And a guy like Wes Matthews in New York, you know, he's not going to get significant playing time. He's not part of their future. Why would you make a trade, lose an asset and a draft pick in order to acquire Wayne Ellington just so you can get a Wes Matthews for relatively, you know, cheaper costs? And we saw that happening. So that's probably why the market for Wayne Ellington wasn't as robust as a lot of people thought it might be. You know, we had talked earlier in the year that maybe a second or maybe even a late first round pick would be enough to get Ellington. But he's also played himself out of the rotation. He's also, you know, had a hard time making an impact there. There are problems with his game. I don't know, and we've talked about this before too. You know, Ellington is a really good fit in Miami. I'm not so sure how much that's going to translate to other teams. You know, I think you have to run offense specifically for him. And maybe a team like Philadelphia that does a lot of that with J.J. Redick and Redick and now departed Chandra Lamet, Landry Shamet. You know, I mix those up. Either way, those kind of sets, and those kind of sets, you know, make the most of Ellington's skill set. But I don't know that other teams are going to be able to incorporate him as smooth.
I think he's relatively easy to incorporate, only because a lot of those sets are sets that a lot of teams already run. You know, most teams run floppy anyway. For somebody, you just put Ellington into that spot instead of whoever they already have. I don't think it's going to be that tough. Even though you're right, like he won't. Like, the offense isn't going to run through Wayne Ellington like it did last season, right? But for a lot of the portions of the time where he was on the floor for Miami. But look, this is kind of where we're at. We're recording this not knowing what the next step is. We'll find out if there is a next step. But we just wanted to put out a really quick, short podcast there to just kind of talk about this Tyler Johnson thing. And I'm sure, David, we're going to be talking about this for the rest of the week and going forward. So that's all for right now. Keep in touch. Make sure that you're subscribed to Locked On Heat on your podcast feed, whatever you use to listen to podcasts. We are there. So subscribe, and we'll be back with more information as it comes available. But thanks for joining me for now, David.
You got it, Wes.